The 7 I am statement. Everybody has it memorized now, right? I am the life. I am the bread of life, the light of the world, the door, the good shepherd, the resurrection of the life, the way, the truth, and the life. We're going to read starting in John today, John 15. But first, I want to recap what happened along the way since John 13. And I'm talking about time and periods of chapters just so you can relate to your Bibles and what we've kind of gone over the last several weeks. So as we enter into John 13, Jesus is preparing to have supper with his disciples. The Last Supper, as it's known by, celebrating the Passover. And the Passover was when? Way back, way, 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 way back when the Israelites were leaving under Pharaoh's thumb and they put lamb blood over their doors so they got passed over so that they would live and then they would be free. There's so much more to that, but just a quick summary. So he sits down to have this dinner with the disciples. He washes their feet. He predicts the betrayal of Judas, and Judas excuses himself. He predicts Peter's denial, which Peter denies. He explains more pointedly that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And that's what Pastor Jamie went over last week. He promises the Holy Spirit, the advocate that's going to lead them to truth and help them after Jesus is gone. And then he says that they will be gifted peace of mind and heart when I leave this earth. And then we get to the final I am statement. While continuing and in the middle of pouring out as much as he possibly can on the disciples, there's two more chapters of basically all just Jesus talking to his disciples. It starts in 13 and it really doesn't end till the end of 17. There's a ton of stuff he's just reiterating. And as we've moved through the I am statements, if you haven't noticed, it's kind of parabolic, like telling a story, and then it gets more pointed, and it gets more pointed, and he literally just says, when I leave. And he's getting closer and closer to the next step, which he'll be arrested. And so he's just, man, he's trying to fill up these disciples as much as he can with as much stuff as he can so that they are prepared and ready to be on their own, if you will, to be alone here, but not really, right? But he's preparing them when you don't physically see me anymore and you can't look me in the eye. He's trying to prepare them that I'm still here and the Holy Spirit will be your advocate. After we get done with John 15, he goes back into the Holy Spirit and explains a lot more than what he did before this statement about how the Holy Spirit will be their helper. There's just so much to dive into, folks, but we're going to try to stay focused on what we need to do today. There's just so much. It's such good stuff. So when we go to John 15, let's just start with the scriptures, and then we'll kind of break it down as we do. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I'm going to read a little bit more just so like he kind of circles it around to how this is with how we love, but we're going to focus mainly on those verses today. I have loved you even as my Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. Love each other. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. God is the gardener. Just to make it clear. Context of the grapevine. Can I have the next slide, please? To give an image. Context of the grapevine. The grapevine supports and nourishes numerous branches to produce many grapes to be optimal. The branches must be cared for by the gardener by either pruning or by lifting them up, which would both typically occur during the season of Passover or in the spring. And it was all done to encourage productivity, get more fruit, to be more fruitful. The fall is typically when dead branches or unproductive branches would be removed. So it's a period of opportunity. And they're removed due to being useless or because they may infect the rest of the branches. Because they're taking nourishment and doing nothing with it, and that nourishment could be going to other branches that might be producing, but they could produce more if they weren't losing some of that nourishment to a useless branch, if you will. Throughout the Bible, fruitfulness is used to describe prosperity associated with God. So God's prosperity, all to glorify God. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. Your Bible version may also use the word abide. I'm using the NLT and it uses remain instead of abide. Abide is another really cool word. Either way, the point is, like a vine and branch, we must also have a dynamic relationship with Jesus to live our fullest lives producing as much of God's goodness as we can in our lives and our interactions with each other here on earth. As a branch cannot produce apart from the vine, neither can we apart from Christ, is the message here. Verse 7 also says, and my words remain in you. Remember, Jesus is constantly teaching, right? And in this last couple of chapters, 13 through 17, that we've read, or maybe you read on your own, he's pouring out as much as possible, trying to teach. And what he's saying is, my word needs to remain in you too. Jesus is nourishing them. Jesus is nourishing us with the word. We need to allow Jesus' teachings to become part of our daily lives, implement and execute on what we're learning. Don't just know the book, but know how to implement the concepts in the book. I can recite the definition of love all day long. I can know the definition of love, but if I don't know how to show God's love, knowing that definition is useless. You could read this entire book and know it cover to cover. You can get in all the little Bible competition that you want to be saying the Bible back and forth and like shout out verses and recite it all. If you don't know how to implement it, it's useless. Like a useless branch, like a branch that's sitting connected to the vine, getting all the nourishment, understanding all the stuff here, but doing nothing with it. When you do something with it, that's when it's meaningful. That's when it does something. That's where you feed others with your little grapes. What good is knowledge if you're not implementing it? That's where Jesus is saying, remain in my word. What good is a branch connected to the vine, taking in, but doing nothing? The gardener is not giving up on you. The gardener chases after you, allows opportunities for pruning and to lift you up, to steady you and to support you. Sometimes pruning doesn't feel that great though, right? I mean, imagine you're sitting here on the vine, just hanging out, getting your nourishment. You've got some little grapes. You're doing fine. It may look like blueberries. You might be confusing people because you got such little grapes that they look like the size of blueberries. And then if something happens in your life, you have a growth opportunity. Some of us look at it as an Eeyore moment, though, right? I've gone through the circumstance and it's so challenging. There's a few of you that will look at it like, hey, I'm going through a challenge and it is really hard and it sucks at times, but man, it'll be fine. And we've got all in between. The best visual I could give you is the pruning shears, right? Like those pruning shears are coming. You're okay to do it to your plants, right? But when the pruning shears come after you, I mean, that does hurt and you have to heal and you have to grow. But it's necessary for your little blueberry-like grapes to become the grapes like the promised land that were so huge. Don't misunderstand God's pruning for, oh, woe is me, for another thing in life. The other thing that's really cool that I read about, because I obviously had to learn about vineyards and grapes, is the other thing is it's a vine, right? So it like grows. And they try to grow it and they stabilize it with all these things to try to get it to grow up off the ground. But every now and then, that vine is just growing and it's like, I'm not going to be on this. And it goes down and it like gets in the dirt or it wraps itself around each other. And so what the gardener will do, because once you're on the ground, you're not going to grow very well because now you've got the ground kind of messing stuff up. And you know, like fruit will be on the ground and then it starts to crumble. That's not the right word I want, but it starts to like crumble and it starts to fall, decay. That's the word I want. It starts to decay. So what the gardener will do is the gardener will come and they'll pick up that little vine. It will pick up that little branch, I'm sorry. It picks up that little branch and it supports it. So that decay, that stuff that's causing that decay can literally be moved away. And it's like God coming and picking up you as your little branch self and just supporting you and holding you. Isn't that really cool to think about? You got the pruning and you got the support. Sometimes those chompers are coming, people. I'm just telling the truth. Those chompers are gonna come. Other times, it'll be more tender. It'll be like, come on, little branch. Let me hold you up. Let me reroute you and put you over here so that you can prosper. We need both of that stuff sometimes, right? We need that tender care, and the other times we really just need that slap in the face. We do. And all this is to produce fruit, and what fruit do we need to produce? If you attended Saturday Night's Alive, I know you're singing the song, The Fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit's not a lemon. Remember? It's not a lemon. It's not a watermelon. What are they? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. Shout out to Galatians 5, 22 through 23. These are the attributes of Jesus. That's our fruit. That's our fruit. Are you spreading joy? Are you spreading love? Are you spreading kindness? Are you being patient with one another? Are you exhibiting self-control? Are you gentle with people? Remember, God, that's an attribute of God. We just talked about that. Sometimes he's really gentle and he picks up our little branch selves. Do you show peace? Do you have peace? And where do we go? Where do we go when these things are not optimal in our life, when we're not at our peak productivity? We go to Christ. That's the remain part. And here's the cool part. Remember how I talked about, and how the Bible talked, like how I talked about in the springtime, that's the pruning season. In the fall, that's when you go through and you're like, okay, these little guys have an opportunity. They died. I'm either pulling them out and putting them in the pile to be burned, or I'm taking that branch. I'm severing that branch from the core of the vine. You get this opportunity to remain in Jesus and for Jesus to remain in you. But if you don't and you get so far connected, it's like you're not even attached. And that's when, like, we have that darkness pull within our heart. But you have an opportunity if you see yourself slipping. It's not like, oh, I guess fall's coming and I'll just be removed. No, you get this time period to take that nourishment that Jesus wants to so desperately give to you. But Jesus isn't going to just force it in there, right? You've got to accept it and do something with it. That's where it's reciprocal. It's a dynamic relationship. If you remain in me, I will remain in you. If you abide in me, I will abide in you. Jesus needs you to raise your hand. Accept Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. Remember, Jesus is the gate. You got to go through the gate. You have to go to Jesus, who's trying to nourish you with the bread, the light. Jesus is trying to give you this stuff. That's why we got to be tied in, like the grapes, all connected. And you know what's really cool too? And this is like a little bit off, but I just couldn't stop thinking about it. Look at this thing. We talk about the body of Christ. Look at how we're all little connected. All our little branches there. All connected. We're all in this together. Look how strong the image of Jesus is holding us up as the vine. All of us together with our little bunches. I am the vine. The Father is the gardener. You are the branches. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. It all comes together. You didn't choose me. I chose you. Jesus chooses each and every single one of you, and I am taking the time to look at every single one of you so that there's nobody that doubts, oh, it's not me. You are chosen to be Jesus' disciples, and you are purified through Jesus' message and through Jesus' actions. So if you're sitting there thinking, well, I'm not one of those little branches. I'm off to the side over here. You are connected to the vine. You've got to accept Jesus. Abide in Jesus, and Jesus will abide in you. If we go back to verse 9, Jesus is flipping it a little bit here, right? Because the disciples, in typical Jesus fashion, he's trying to take something that they would know about so that they can grasp it, but then he flips it and he tries to apply it into the spiritual world as well. They would also know this because there's a whole thing back in Ezekiel. It's Ezekiel 17, 5 through 10, if you want to look at that, where Jesus uses Ezekiel to prophesy to the Israelites at the time that were in one of their not abiding in Jesus moments. And he's prophesizing to them about how he will cut them off like a branch. It's a really cool thing. So they would know that too, knowing the scriptures, that God has used the vine and the branches in many, many instances. And it's not just Ezekiel too. You can also find it in a couple other places. But so Jesus is now changing it, and this is where we're going to go now too. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. My love will remain in you. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Jesus is trying to give them a joy beyond earthly joy. Beyond you finally finished after hours and hours of wasting time, Super Mario Brothers 3. That joy doesn't last. Because then Super Mario Brothers 4 comes out, right? This is a joy that's beyond that. This is a joy. Yes, 80s, 90s child. This is a joy that is only the joy that Jesus can give. He's trying to impart a joy and a peace that goes beyond these earthly things. Filled with my joy, you will overflow with joy. This is a joy that goes beyond circumstances. This is a joy that stands steady as life goes on around it. Good, bad, or indifferent, it just stays there. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you, which is how? Unconditional and beyond what we can really imagine. I'd love to think that I grasp it 90%. It's probably more like 12. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus is prophesying and once again explaining what he's going to do and trying to tie it that it's because I love you that I'm going to go to the cross. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. This is back to that intimate dynamic relationship that I mentioned. Jesus wants an intimate, dynamic relationship with you. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask using my name. This is my command. Love each other. And we close out this sermon series with love each other. I love that, pun intended. Because the bottom line, everything that Jesus is and does for us is because God loved us, that he gave his only begotten son to us. And Jesus is trying his darndest to get into these disciples' heads, to get into our heads, the depth of that love. And he's using all these earthly things because we like the things we can touch. We like the things we can see. So he's sitting at the table just before this. And they've got the bread and they've got the wine. They've got the supper table set out. And he displays so much at this supper. He serves his disciples by washing their feet. Prior to that, he had everything set up for them to come and have this meal. Now you gotta love John. John likes to do his own thing. You won't see in these scriptures, 13 through 15, where it talks about this is the body given to you, this is the blood given to you. Mark, Luke, and Matthew, you'll find it. But John decided to do it differently, as John often does. But you can imagine that still happening. The table is set for you. You just need to sit down. There's a place for you. Come to the table. Abide in Jesus. Know you are welcome there. Know that you are a friend of God. You are a friend of Jesus, who is welcome at Jesus' table. And then so eloquently, Jesus does what Jesus does. And he takes that bread and he breaks it, signifying what will happen to his body. And he says, take this in remembrance of me. And he passes it to every one of his disciples. So they have a physical understanding of what's going to happen in a couple days. And he takes the wine and he blesses it. He says, take this in remembrance of me. Signifying the blood that will pour from his body for every single one of us. And he passes it to everybody at that table because everybody is welcome and everybody is worthy. We are going to take communion today because I think that's fitting to finish out the sermon series. It's very difficult for me today. And to take what you've learned over the past 7 weeks or however long you've been able to listen to the sermon series and physically experience so you can spiritually experience what it is to have Jesus sitting at the table with you, trying to nourish you with all the things as a great vine that Jesus is. Take in that nourishment. Take in that nourishment of understanding who Jesus is. And take the time to pray and affirm your faith in Jesus. And meditate and really understand how and what you're supposed to be implementing and executing in your life so that you can produce the fruit that we're intended to glorify God, to praise God for the lives that we get to live here. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for giving us Jesus, your one and only Son, because you so love the world and that everybody is welcome at your table. There's not one of us that is not your friend and welcome at this table, God. And we thank you, God, that you love us so much, that you want to bestow so much stuff on us. And all you ask of us is to abide in you and to follow your commandments so that our fruit may grow and we could be a beacon of light within this world as well, doing the things that you yourself did here, God. Wow, what an amazing thing that we get to do the same things that you did if we abide in you, God, that we can glorify God through our actions and our thoughts and our hearts. God, we ask that our hearts be made clean and refreshed and purified, God, that we each take a moment to just sit with you at the table and experience time with you, God, that our intimate, dynamic relationship with you continue to grow, God, and that we accept when we need pruned and supported, God, and that we know that it's to glorify you as we go through those things. In your precious and glorious name we pray, amen.